I have a message to give us tonight. Jesus taught us to be anxious for nothing. And I believe that the Lord God has answers for all of us. And the days of God begin at night. The days of God begin at night. Everything that God begins, it begins in the middle of the night. God works the best at night. He creates the night to begin what he's going to do in the day. And the day brings the answers for the night. When the watchman was asked, how about the night? He said, the morning cometh. Because he realized that when the night comes over a nation and darkness covers a nation, God's about ready to work. And folks, I've got an answer for you. God's ready to explode out here. And so one of the things we had to learn in Argentina and the many things that we went through, and I've been in peril many, many times. We were going to a church one time, I remember. We went into this alley and it looked very strange. I looked up on buildings on both sides and there's people peeking out the windows with automatic weapons and with assault weapons and everything else. And I thought, this is strange. So we were just taking the shortcut. We had learned during those operations that when that happens, you're to turn your headlights off and you're to put your cabin lights on so they can see who's in. We were going with all our family. Put the window down. And I have this automatic assault weapon about 2 inches from my head. And I was asked what we were doing in that area. They were waiting for one of the top leaders of the terrorist movement in Argentina in 1973. And I hit it right into him when they were waiting. He said, if you will not move but a muscle and back up and do not look up, do not look to your left, and do not look to your right. How many of you know that it's great to follow instructions? I did exactly as the man said, and thank the Lord I still have my head on me today. And I want to tell you that God will protect you in times of storms. I have story after story that I could be able to tell you of God's divine protection and keeping. We are about ready to enter into some of that here in the United States. And until your time comes and the Almighty has a plan that He's designed for your life, is through with it. You're not going anywhere. Just keep walking in the will of God and keep walking His plan for you. You're going to have a long life promised to all those who love the Lord and follow according to His purposes. So God has some good things for us. Another thing that He taught us when we were going through tremendous economical storms was to not look at the storm, not look at the things that have happened, not look at the things that go on. We have lived through problems in the economy, and like Pastor said, triple digit. Now that's hard to imagine. 1,000% in a year, that means that it's 3 times less worth, 3 zeros off of what it's worth. People would make money and they would spend it the moment it was paid to them because an hour or 2 or 3 later you could buy much less with your money and by the next day you could buy half or less. The inflation was so great we learned to live, but I'll tell you that discipline of God did something for the country of Argentina. And let me tell you what it is. God brought His people into right perspective because He taught us how to live with the money that we had and not get in debt. Because you could not get in debt. No one would give you any money. No one would loan you any money. It was impossible. You learned to take the money you have and spend it. And that was the only money you had. And so you learned to make the best of it. And you learned to find people that were slow on the uptake and hadn't raised their prices yet the last hour. And you ran around and found out the best deals and just lived each day, the moment that God gave you. And that's what He said for us to do, to live each moment, each day. Some of us are already bowing from the end of the year. And God says, don't look forward, don't look backward. God only has one, today. God is the God of now. He's the I am. He's the present God. He's the God of right now. He said, I'll give you grace sufficient for today. How many have had enough grace to make it through today? Hallelujah. How many think you don't have enough for tomorrow? Because we look forward with fear till tomorrow. But tomorrow is the devil's day. Yesterday is the devil's day. Haven't you noticed how he loves to take you back? He just loves to have you spend time yesterday because you can't fix it, you can't change it. And all the remorse he can build in your heart only loads you down and heavy, makes you a heavy heart and full of depression. He loves for us to live yesterday. Don't live there. That's not a God day. God's day is today. Today is the day the Lord has made. He's a God of now. Faith is now. Now is faith. And I believe today that God has answers for us in this economical crisis. We have been in devastating economical crises and we have pulled out of it. And God did nothing but bring good out of evil. And we have seen the protections of God. We've seen the marvels of God change countries around. We have lived in times where three times the economy crashed, totally crashed. Maybe you don't understand what that means. What that actually means is that the government seizes all the funds of the inhabitants of the entire country, and whatever you had, $1, $1 million, $50 million, whatever you had in your bank account, as a business or as a personal individual, you lost. They took over, and from one day to another, you were broke. We're not there yet. Look at the face of somebody who's been there. Because God has the answers. Yes, He does. I'm working on trimming up, but look, God's been good to me. Amen. We've been through where you couldn't buy food for days at a time. We've lived through times where a sack of carrots did us a week for the entire family, and that was it. And boy, were we glad just to have carrots. But by the end of the week, it's like, oh, Jesus, you feel like a rabbit. Don't look famished, do I? God is good. He has answers. We're going into a night. It's getting dark. There's going to be a lot of things happening. But God's getting ready to explode in the middle of that darkness with light in Goshen. And we're going to look at that in just a few moments. And we're going to go to the scriptures. We feel more comfortable when we go to scriptures. I could just say it. But sometimes we'd feel uncomfortable. So I can take us through the scriptures, show you a parallel between what happened in Egypt when God pulled His people out. In the midst of a moment of great darkness for them and slavery where the government had taken over, He was abusing God's people, and God stood up on their behalf. He said, I've seen your affliction and I'm ready to go. And so God came down and He worked on their behalf during a night of great darkness in their life. And today, I believe that America is living a time of darkness, and we can be all up about it, but listen, it will get you down. And don't live yesterday, don't live tomorrow. There's fears, there's apprehensions, there's anxieties, there's all kinds of things that will eat you up, will give you ulcers. Leave tomorrow alone. God is the God of today. And when you live tomorrow, tomorrow, He's the God of that day, because that will be today. And I know, and I can tell you for a fact, that God can see you through. Now, let's go back to economical collapse. What do you do when all your money is taken and from one day to another you have absolutely nothing? Well, I'll tell you how you do it. You get into a place where you walk really close with God so that 24 hours before, He comes to you like He did to one of the couples in our church at that time. 24 hours before the government seized all the currency in the country of Argentina, no one knew that this was going to happen. No one, not even people that work for government officials, knew that it was going to happen. Nobody knew it. These people had helped us build the last church in Buenos Aires. They'd also helped us buy the property. They had put thousands of dollars into the work of the Lord for many years. In a dream at night, God came to the wife of this man who has a factory, a sweater factory, and they had a lot of money in the bank. And the Lord came to her in a dream, and He said, tomorrow morning, early in the morning, as soon as banks are open, go and pull every cent you have in the bank out and put it in a bank in Uruguay. And told her what bank to put it in. She wakes up in the morning, hits her husband with the envelope, said, God visited me last night, and He says, take every dime out of our account and put it in another country. He looks at her and says, are you sure? She says, I know God spoke to me. We're pulling the money out, every last cent. They pulled it out. They put it in a SBC bank in Uruguay. And 18 hours after they got the money out and in Uruguay, the country collapsed. God's got the answers for the night. Is God our God or isn't He? Is He a figment of imaginations that Christians have when they hoop and holler in church? Or is He a God of every day and is real? We lived with a God that was real. We had our money out too. God warned Christians all over Argentina. And the ones that obeyed, they're the ones that sang praises the next day. And so no matter how it goes down, God's on your side and it's going to come out all right. That's a good word for you. That's a good word for me. All right. And so this is what took place 5 months later after that. The same woman, she was sitting there drinking some mate for breakfast. And the audible voice of the Lord began to stir in her heart and began to put a real fear in her heart for her money that was in Uruguay. And the Lord spoke to her. He said, I want you to pull the money out of Uruguay. And He said, I want you to bring it back to Argentina. It's safe now in Argentina. So they pulled all their money out, brought it back to Argentina. 1 week later, Uruguay did exactly the same thing and froze all the accounts of the Argentines that had run over there in time. So he will direct our paths. His own Lord says, if you will trust in me with all your heart, will you lean not under your own understanding, I will direct your paths. I will teach you. Yes, we're in a financial meltdown. Yes, it's going to get much worse. Yes, the night is nearly closing in on us. And yes, God gets active at night. He gets explosive at night. He has the answers for all of us. So let's not sit back and mourn and worry and be anxious. He said, be anxious for nothing. Your Father knows what needs you have. God's going to correct some of the bad habits that we've picked up in Egypt. And God's going to get us to where we live in our means and within our means and be able to move ahead and be able to give. And I believe that those that God is going to awaken in time and give directions are going to be those that are going to have enormous and tremendous ways to give to God's people of how we can bless others during the time of their calamity. Because there's going to be a lot of calamity, but God's going to raise us up, not so that you can say, hey, I got my money, too bad for you. But God needs people that have money because there's going to be a lot of people that don't. So I could go on all night giving you examples because there were so many examples that happened during that time. But one of the things that was very real to us, the Lord taught us to live one day at a time. He taught us to live more so than that with just the money that we had and not get in debt. And we began to realize that the money that we made was really sufficient for all the needs that we had. God was a God that supplied all of our needs more than enough. He was a God of more than enough. We didn't need debt. Debt is going beyond the means and bounds that God has given, and it's a bad habit for nations, it's a bad habit for government, and when we do, we just go backwards and further down and spiral into all kinds of crisis. And thank God that we don't have to go into the realm that other people go to where we owe money and have to go into bankruptcy, and God says, owe no man anything, and that doesn't mean you can't have a house on credit, it doesn't mean anything like that, it just means trust the Lord, listen to the Lord. If He says yes, if you gotta go, go. If the Lord says, go ahead, then go ahead. Don't worry about what's going to happen. Just go move forward and don't worry about anything. I'd like us to turn to the book of Exodus chapter 8, and I'm talking a little bit fast. We've gone to late 30, so I'd like to get through with this. There were 10 plagues on the country of Egypt, and Egypt represents the United States, and the government of the United States represents what happened in Pharaoh and all his people during those nation times. We see the affliction that has come, and more there's affliction against the righteous, and God is rising up to do something about it. But I'd like us to realize that just like it was in the days of Moses and Pharaoh in Egypt, so it is in the United States of America. The United States of America is coming under judgment. If you haven't realized it, just accept that it is. Don't say, well, this is doom and gloom, and I don't want to listen to this. Just open your eyes, ask God to give you understanding, and open your understanding and say, God, I'm willing to receive whatever it is you want to teach us. God is saying to you, don't worry, don't worry. I've got everything in control. And one of the things God wants us to understand tonight is that all these judgments are not coming because of the righteous. He is not punishing the righteous. You haven't done anything wrong. Christians, although God is going to correct some bad habits and things, He is not after you. God is after Pharaoh. He's after his servants. He's after the things that they have done to oppress people and nations around the world. And God's judgment is going to come forth. And when it does come forth, it's going to be swift, precise, and terrible. And it's going to affect economies. It's going to affect the world. Before this is over with, it's going to affect the entire world. But know tonight that God's judgment is upon the wicked. He is not after you. His target is not you. On the contrary, stay real close to Him because He is ready to come through for you like you've never seen Him come through. He is ready to protect and keep you during these times that come, but stay under the shelter of His wings. Just stay like David did under the shelter. Make Him your love, because the whole purpose of God is to bring us back to Him, because His people have become wayward. God said in Hosea, through the prophet Hosea in the chapter 2, He said, you didn't remember that the corn and the oil and the wine and the things that you had in your silver and gold, that I was the one that gave it to you, and you are my my spouse, you are my wife, and I am your husband, and I love you. But you've gone after these lovers, you've gone after these things, and your heart has moved away from me. So when I move in judgment and take these things away from you, I'm going to judge the wicked, but I'm going to bring you back to me. And he said, because you couldn't remember that I was the one that gave this to you, I'm going to remove your corn. I'm going to remove your wine. I'm going to remove your oil. The word, all that could be spiritual too. The word of the Lord. The moves of the Spirit. The anointing off of people's lives. God said, I'm going to remove it. I'm going to remove the coverings, and you're going to go through shame in your life. And on and on and on. And you go through the things that are in that chapter 2, and you begin to see a God that wants to bring His bride back to Himself. God is in love with His church. He's in love with us. And He wants us back to Him. And He will do whatever it takes. And God says, when you follow after the gods of mammon and follow after other gods, I will destroy those gods before your eyes to bring your heart back to me. And He said, when I have taken those things from you, I will lead you out to a wilderness and I will speak comfortably to you. I will take you in my arms and I will let you know who really is your husband and who really is the one that died for you and who really is the one that gave Himself for you and who it is that you live for and breathe for and want to go to heaven with. And He said, when all this is done, you will find that it will have tracked to your heart again and it will be on fire and a love for me. So God's judgment is toward the wicked, and at the same time He's going to help Himself to all the gods we have allowed in our homes and lives. And God says, I'm just going to do away with them. And when I do away with them, it's going to hurt a little bit, but hang on there because I'm on your side. And when all this is through, you're going to be coming out of the wilderness leaning on your beloved. Hallelujah. Don't you just love it? If God be for us, who can be against us? Out of the 10 plagues, I need you to notice something very specific. The first 4 plagues, God said that they came over all the land of Egypt. All the land of Egypt. You will begin in chapter 8 and it will finish in chapter 12. Now, because I don't feel we have the time to go into all these details, just take my word for it and then read it later. All right? But the first 4 plagues that we encounter here beginning in chapter 8, now, and you will see them. Remember that first was the serpent. That wasn't the plague. That was a sign. Pharaoh asked for a sign. So God gave him a power sign, a serpent sign. We don't have time to move into all of this. We have something else in mind today. Or if not, we give spiritual meanings and significance and types to all this to understand this. But it's not a class for that today. But the first one was turning the water into wine. Isn't it amazing that when God wants to bring judgment upon a country, He turns the water into blood. But when He wants to bless a country like in Canaan, He turns the water into wine. The first 4 plagues that came against Egypt included everybody, God's people included. It said it came over all the land of Egypt. Listen, God touched their water supply, and God's been touching the water supply in the United States of America. There's droughts now in California. There's droughts in South Carolina. There's droughts in Georgia. There's been droughts all over the country. And for anybody that yells, yoo-hoo, we're out of it, don't yell, don't get proud, because God is working to touch the water supplies of a nation, because it is the very life stream of a nation, and God's getting our attention, and it's going to affect Christians. You say, why would God, if God's idea is judging the wicked for the things that they are doing in a country, why are Christians affected by it? We thought that somebody preached a gospel that said that once you get converted, nothing wrong will ever happen to you. Well, honey, you better go to somebody that preaches the real gospel then. Because Jesus said, assuredly, I tell you, you're going to go through all kinds of a persecution and affliction. They're going to chase after you, put you in prison. They're going to kill you if they can. The world's going to hate you because they hated me. Now, that doesn't sound like a Christmas party. Rejoice because we're not part of the world. Rejoice because even though God uses things to discipline us, that's all it is for us. A little bit of discipline. But when we've learned, we walk with our beloved with a smile on His face because He doesn't hate us. He loves us. But God hates unrighteousness. Innocent blood spilled on a land brings curses to the land. So God for every single person of His people whose blood marked the land of Egypt. God turned the entire place, the whole waterway, everywhere, into blood. And that affected God's people. The first four plagues include God's people, because that's God's warning to shake us up, wake us up, and turn us back to God. But once it does, praise the Lord. The other six, the bad ones, we watch it happen. Because when the fifth one comes by with the flies, God says, okay, I'm going to make a division here between my people and you guys. From now on, the heavy stuff comes from you, but my people, I'm going to protect. And listen, I don't know how God does it, but He's great. God brought flies so thick that they couldn't see through them. It was like a dark cloud that came over the land. No fly ever flew past that invisible wall of Goshen where God's people were. It could not cross the line. That is what depraves. That is what corrupts. A fly is something that's comfortable in all that's filthy, but gets trapped in honey. Everything that defileth will be kept from God's people. Hallelujah. God drew a line that day for the flies. And God drew the line. He put His people on one side. He said, I want to show you that I'm a God that can make a difference. I'm going to show you that while I'm pounding on you, I'm holding the apple of my eye. Because I've already taught her with the first four to respect and fear me again. And to love me with all her heart. And quit messing around with all her bad habits. And come back to the Lord. And He said, when I've got your attention, I'll begin to protect you. And I'll begin to keep you. Every one of the five, after each one happened. But I want you to notice that not only did He touch the water supply, He touched the food supply chain. All the cattle in the land of Egypt died. But it says this in the Bible, that Pharaoh noticed that in Goshen there was no cattle dead. Hallelujah. Do we fear this storm? Oh no. This is a time to see the miracles of God take place. For if God's on our side, who can be against us? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God says, I'm going to beat down every green thing you have with hail from heaven. And as the hail came down and beat on the earth, it said it broke limbs, it broke trees, it broke backs of animals. It came down and it was horrific and left nothing in its place. But it said that there was like a curtain where Goshen began. And not one rock from heaven was ever hurled. Now that's a lot of accurate tossing from heaven. Not one rock made it into Goshen. Hallelujah. We fear the Lord because He is our God and our protector and our keeper. He's the one that keeps your finances. While people cry because they've seen the whole life savings of their life for retirement dwindle down to nothing and only have 30 or 40% of it. And they cry even on national television. You can be assured that God can take the total destruction of something and turn it around for something good. God is a God that can multiply at the same time that He divides. He is the only one in the universe that does however He feels to do. And God feels to do you good. I like that. Just fear the Lord, walk close to Him, fall in love all over again with Him, because that's what He's after. And once He has your heart again, because that's the only thing God ever wants from us, He said, son, give me your heart. He doesn't want our money. He doesn't want our things. Yes, He could use it in His kingdom, but God wants our heart. And if our heart is close to Him, you're going to see some miracles take place. Don't focus on the storm. Don't focus on the economy. Don't focus on what happened to the nation. Don't focus if from the outside they come in to take over our nation. Don't go home and grab a shotgun off the shelf and load it. You just put it back and throw your shells out. Save them for hunting. You know what? There's going to come a time where you're going to see miraculous things happen in your life like I've seen it happen in my life. Tremendous miracles all along of protection and keeping. God's keeping. Praise the Lord. God has the answers. Do you think for one minute that God's after us? That God's going to ruin His own kingdom? No, sir. His kingdom has picked up wrong habits and God's going to correct it. But I'm telling you, God is for us and not against us. Isn't that beautiful? Now here's a good one. Darkness. I don't know how He did this one. But darkness so dark that you couldn't see one hand in front of you. Now that's dark. I had a vision one time where God took me into outer darkness to go get somebody that shouldn't have been there, but had to learn a lesson. A Christian that refused to forgive a pastor in his life. It's a long vision and I can't tell you all of it. But all I will tell you right now is that I went into a place where darkness was so thick, so cold, so horrible that you started getting a sick feeling in your stomach because you didn't know where out was, where up was, where down was, or where back was. And you didn't know if you'd ever get out of there again. Ever. And if you did, which way do you go? And I heard the words of the Lord say this to me in the vision. When you go to the right or to the left, when you make a wrong choice, you will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way." Do you know why we make so many mistakes? Because Jesus said, "Follow me." If you hear a voice behind you, you're ahead of Him. And the voice is saying, "Come back. Get back where you belong." You will hear a voice behind you saying, "This." Where is this? Behind you. Saying, "Get back where you belong. Quit leading me and let me lead your life." So the Lord said to me, "I want you to get really quiet. Really, really quiet." And I was in the midst of this terrible, terrible darkness. I said, "God, how can I find this guy in here?" Now I've told you it's a guy. That's all I'm going to tell you. "How am I going to find him in here?" And God says, "You'll find him, but get really still." And I got really, really still. And I heard this voice saying, "Can you hear me? Can you hear me?" And I just said out loud, "Yes, I can hear you. Now you can find him. Turn to your left. Keep walking. No, more to your left. Keep walking. A little more to your right. Keep walking." And I bumped into somebody. Let me tell you what, when you're in total darkness and you bump into somebody, it's not a pleasant experience. Both people let out a howl. "Ah! I'm looking for so-and-so. Is that you? Are you married to so-and-so? Is your father so-and-so? Is your mother called so-and-so?" "No," was the answer to all of them. And I thought, "Oh my God, what do I do now?" So I remembered the instruction. I got really quiet until I could hear the inner voice saying, "Keep walking." This happened 4 times. And each time I ran into somebody, it's as scary as the first time. And you don't know how far you're in or how far down you've gone or how far up you've gone. But after the 4th person I ran into, I asked the person the same questions and the answers were yes. And I said, "I've come to find you. I've come to get you out." Let me tell you something. God was teaching me. This is the kind of darkness they had in Egypt. A darkness is scary. A darkness is so thick you can't see through, in, or out of. But take one more step, folks, into where we are. There was light in Goshen, brother. Hallelujah. There was light. There was understanding. They were understanding what was happening in their world. They weren't worried. They had light. There was darkness everywhere, but there was light. Folks, we're going to see darkness everywhere around us in eternity because Jesus spoke of the place of outer darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But honey, you're going to stand in that realm of light and thank God forever that you fell in love with His Son. And walked all the way through thick and thin until you made it to the end. Because God's going to make a distinction between Egypt, the world, and His people. And God's come to do that in America. And the word God used is, I am going to make a difference. I am going to divide. I am going to separate my people from the other. Folks, there is a realm of faith for us to walk into this dynamic. There is a realm of faith as you walk in Christ and come into a relationship. God's going to use you when the food supply is being judged and is being cut off and cattle is dying everywhere and plants and crops are being destroyed by all kinds of tornadoes and hurricanes and violent hail, and things are happening all around you, and the bread baskets of America are being destroyed. Remember, this is God's land. This is God's country. He loves this country. He died for this country. From this country, He has sent missionaries all around the world. I want to tell you that when it comes to just the land itself, there is no way we're going to keep spilling innocent blood upon it. Because I can tell you that from the western purple majesty peaks until you get to the blue-laced hills over here on the east, and if you go as far as the frigid wildernesses of the north, and if you go down south as far as the tropical keys, I can promise you that if you walk through the wetlands of Florida, and if you go as far as the beautiful meadows that have the beautiful rivers going through it, the Lord says, this is my land, every bit of it's mine. You walk the breadbasket of America, God says, this is mine. Men are destroying it left and right. God says, this is mine. From the first day the Mayflower sailed to get over here with the pilgrims, God had His eye on a people and still has His eye on those people. And God had His eye on Native Americans. God had His eye on the melting pot of the world. God knew that He had people from all over the nations of the world that would come here to hear His gospel and to know His world and His light. And the gospel light is going to go on, and God's going to light up Goshen again, and the United States is going to light the beacon of the gospel around the world again, and it's not going to be stopped, and darkness will not be able to ever hide that light, because under a bushel it will hide no longer. We are going to be the light of the world once again, and we're going to shine for the glory of God. What are the tactics of the enemy? What did Pharaoh say? I'll tell you what Pharaoh said. I said this to the young people this morning. Pharaoh said, go ahead, serve your God. Just don't go too far. Don't be too radical. Don't be too consecrated. Don't go to church too often. Don't go off the deep end. Just serve Him in lip. All talk, no action. Don't go too far with God. Don't become a fanatic for Him. But listen, this same Pharaoh that says that to Christians doesn't do that with his people, the terrorists. He makes them as radical as he can to give their life for their God that does not exist and kill people who have a God that does exist. And they are so radical in their belief and they are so sold out, they would sell down their life down the drain to be able to cause the purposes to go forward. We need to be alive and on fire, radical for God, full of the passion of the Holy Ghost and moving forward. Amen. What else did Pharaoh say? Pharaoh says, you can go, but you can't take your cattle. You can't take your stuff. I'll impoverish you. You can move on, but we'll take away all your tax status. We'll take away everything you can. We're going to make Christians as poor as we can make them, and then you can go ahead and serve God. I got news for you. They said, we're going to leave with every hoof of every cattle, of every piece of stuff we have, and we're going to take all your gold and all your silver and all your precious stones too while we're at it. We need to get bold. Then you know what he said? He said, okay, if I can't get you to concede and to make concessions with all of this and compromise with all of this, then let's do this. Just let the men go, but the family stay here. That's what the devil's doing in America, destroying families. God says, we will go with everybody. God's going to heal families. He's going to bring them together. And we're going out into the promised land together. And He is not going to destroy family and separate men from their families and women so that we have single parents in this world. God's going to move in a revival and He's going to bring the land back to Himself. Hallelujah. Our lives aren't governed by what the devil does. God said, God said when he poured the boils on them and the sores upon them, this is going to happen just to you governors and to your people. It's the only ones that's going to come on. I'm going to make you so sore. I'm going to fill you full of plagues and diseases until you learn to fear the Lord, the God Almighty, the God of our nation, the God of the nation of Israel. We sustain Israel. We believe in Israel. We give to Israel. We bless Israel because they are our brothers and sisters. We were taken off and grafted in. Pharaoh's got some lessons to learn. Let God have at him. Let me tell you one last good one. Pharaoh said this, I will destroy you if you take your people to serve your God. I will destroy you. I will revert to death to stop you. And God says, you just spoke your own curse. By death, I will deliver my people. And God spoke to Moses and said, I want you to make a party. You're going to call it a Passover. I want you to get a lamb. I want you to reenact what's going to happen when I send my son Jesus. And the blood of Jesus is going to deliver my people from this curse of death that's upon him. And God delivered death to the source of death. God will spare no pain to get his work done. Folks, it's a call to us. We're going to get disciplined, but the world is going to get judged. And this is why God is going to have us ready. Because for some reason, our cattle is going to be spared. Our water is going to be spared. God is going to spare our stuff because there's going to be a lot of hungry people to feed. This is the time to really get with it. Because God is with us. He operates in the night. And this is a night we're going into, and God is with us. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. God is a God that's not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's more in love with us than we would ever imagine in our heart he could ever be. And God won't spare anything he needs to spare to bring your heart back to him. The best we could do is go running to God and say, Lord, here I am. I'm not worrying about my money. I'm not worrying about bail. I am not worried about all these things that are around me. I'm not trying to hang on to my little job. God is the God of jobs. God is the God of life. He said, you put my kingdom first and you watch what I will do for you. Hey! When God said build a children's home, not a dime was there to do it. Across the United States, a couple had lost their precious son of 12 years old. He went swimming in the Great Lakes. It was too cold and his heart stopped and he drowned. The father worked in insurance. And he had the son, he had all his children insured. And it was a very large sum of money. We're talking about 40 years ago. My father was itinerating around the United States and just happened to... Well, let me go back just a little bit. One night, the wife had a dream. And in this dream, God appears to her and said, I want you to give all the money of Ronnie's inheritance, of insurance. I want you to give it to a children's home to be built in Argentina. She didn't know anybody in Argentina. She didn't know anybody in South America. In fact, he said South America. She didn't know anybody in South America. So she got up in the morning and told her husband what the Lord had said to her in a dream. And he said, well, that's strange. The same Lord appeared to me and said the same thing to me. He said, the only enigma is, who's in South America? That night, they went to a little house meeting that they were having. And because it wasn't a regular church night, we were just having a home meeting in somebody's home. And they happened to be there. And we told about God telling us to build an orphanage in Argentina, South America. Bing, the lights went on. At the end of the service, they told us what God had told them, handed us a check, and we built the children's home. And to this day, the children's home still exists. And as God is my witness, many of them are pastors and in the work of the Lord this day. Can God supply? Believe me, if the time permitted tonight, I could tell you story after story that's not just a makeup story, a true reality story of provisions of God, supernatural. And that's what God's going to do today for us. God in this hour in America, as it gets darker and darker, is going to move supernaturally in our life. This is the time to get really quiet, like when I was in that darkness, and listen to that voice. Because we live too much in a rush. We have too many things that are demanding on our time and our attention. And we don't know how to get still before the Lord. He said, be still and know that I am God. You will hear a voice, and your ears shall hear a voice behind you saying, God is going to be speaking. He's going to be giving instructions. And he's going to be doing the same miracles he did in Egypt for his people. He's going to be doing for us during this crisis in America. Somebody has to shout out there. This is real tire meets the road stuff from somebody that walked through it, saw it happen. It's going to happen again. I'm living in the same crisis with you, but the same God that got me out of the first one will get and got me out of the second one and got us out of the third one will get us out of the fourth one. Has God changed? Or does he say in his word, I am a God who changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The one that was in love with his people the first day is still in love with you today. The one that wanted your heart way back then when we wanted to divorce him over and over again is the same God that's after our heart today and after our love, after our attention. God's not out to ruin us, folks. Rejoice tonight. Go home with faith in your spirit. Because tomorrow morning when you get up, you're going to face this giant of darkness. You're going to hear news of things getting worse. You're going to see the plagues begin upon the country. And that God will keep your life wherever it is that you go. We are the ones that will have light. When I went into the midst of that darkness, my light didn't shine but more than at my feet. I could only see where my feet were. That's all. It gets pretty scary to not know. But, you know, the Word of God says that I'll tell you just enough so that my Word is a lamp to your feet. He didn't say to the whole entire place. He didn't say, I'm going to light up the hall. He just said, if you just listen to my voice, when I begin to speak to you, it'll be just enough light to tell you where to put your next foot. That's all we need, because after the first foot comes the second foot, and after the second one comes the third one. And when this is all over, the last step is going to take me over the threshold into glory, and we're going to make it into the land of Goshen. Let's just bow our heads in a moment of prayer. Father, I thank you for the power that you have to pick us up in an hour of need. I thank you for the protections and for the miracles that we're going to begin to see in this place. I thank you, Lord, that you have a plan. You have a purpose. That you have raised us up for this hour. And that many are going to call us blessed because we will go to them when their supply is run out. When there's waters turned to blood. When the hail has destroyed their crops, when the things have happened that have brought desolation and decimation into their spirit, we will be the ones that take them that glass of cold water to soothe the anxiety in their spirit. We are the ones that are going to hear your voice because you, like tonight, will be speaking to us. And we need to be listening to what you're saying. And tonight, the message is so clear. Fear not what's going to happen. Fear the Lord and love him with all your heart. And he will see you through. Thank you, Father, tonight. And I ask you to destroy every spirit of fear and anxiety in every heart that's been plagued by it. And for those that don't have a job, let them know that they depend and lean on the arm of the everlasting God, the God of Jacob. You strengthened the arm of Jacob with your own hand. You laid it upon him as a mantle around his shoulder and empowered him to do what you had called him to do. And so you will do with us. And I praise and thank you tonight for the glory in this place. I thank you for your spirit in this place.